Chapter 22. A New Illness for a New Vaccine Era. In 1965, the British virologist David Arthur John Tyrrell, director of the Common Cold Unit, discovered a new virus. Under an electron microscope, the nucleocapsid appeared to be garlanded with a crown-like structure. As he related in his book, Cold Wars, The Fight Against the Common Cold, we looked more closely at the appearance of the new viruses and noticed that they had a kind of halo surrounding them. Recourse to a dictionary produced the Latin equivalent, corona, and so the name coronavirus was born. As the title of his book indicates, Tyrrell regarded coronaviruses as pathogenic insofar as they caused the common cold, the most common infectious disease in humans. Reviewing the historical chronicles of infectious disease, it seemed that the deadly respiratory viral pandemics documented in the past were more likely caused by influenza viruses than coronaviruses. However, about 20 years after Tyrrell first described human coronaviruses, a gifted and industrious microbiologist named Ralph Baric began obsessively studying coronaviruses and looking for additional ways in which they could cause disease, especially by creating recombinant variants of coronaviruses, a process at which he became increasingly adept with years of practice. Baric pursued this line of inquiry between 1985 and 2002. In April 2002, he and his colleagues at the University of North Carolina filed a patent application for their methods for producing recombinant coronaviruses. The contents of the patent application revealed that he had come a long way in discovering how to manipulate coronaviruses in his lab. The purpose of his work, he claimed, was to create recombinant coronaviruses in order to develop vaccines against them. About 7 months after Baric et al. Filed their patent application, the first apparent cases of severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, were reported in Foshan, Guangdong, China. In February 2003, several people, including an American businessman staying in a Hong Kong hotel, came down with the syndrome. The businessman then traveled to Hanoi, Vietnam, where he was hospitalized. Dr. Carlo Urbani, a WHO scientist in Hanoi, visited the patient and suspected he was suffering from a novel disease. Urbani himself contracted the disease and died on March 29, 2003, in Bangkok. On April 1, 2003, the WHO announced a new pathogen, a member of the coronavirus family never before seen in humans, is the cause of severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. The speed at which this virus was identified is the result of the close international collaboration of 13 laboratories from 10 countries. Between November 2002 and July 2003, SARS is estimated to have infected over 8,000 people from 30 countries and territories, and to have caused at least 774 deaths worldwide. Looking back, it strikes us as a remarkable coincidence that a new pathogen, a member of the coronavirus family never before seen in humans, emerged just 7 months after Ralph Baric et al. Filed their patent application for methods for producing recombinant coronavirus. Quickly, this new pathogen became all the rage in pandemic planning circles, and a flood of NIH and private foundation money was made available to coronavirus researchers like Ralph Baric at UNC Chapel Hill. In June 2005, Professor Baric gave a talk titled Synthetic Coronaviruses, Biohacking, Biological Warfare Enabling Technologies at a DARPA MITRE-sponsored event in Washington, D.C. After the 2009 swine flu epidemic proved to be a dud, many virologists began to wonder if another pandemic influenza as virulent as the 1918 Spanish flu would indeed emerge in their lifetimes. A few years after the influenza researchers Kawaoka and Fouché made a splash by creating an H5N1 bird flu virus capable of respiratory transmission among ferrets, Barrick and a British zoologist named Peter Daszak, president of EcoHealth Alliance, teamed up to obtain a massive multi-year NIH grant bonanza to study coronaviruses that purportedly had the potential to emerge from bats into humans. Previously a wildlife conservation organization, EcoHealth, under Daszak's leadership, rebranded itself as an institution for studying emerging infectious disease threats in areas such as southern China. EcoHealth claimed that expanding human development is encroaching on tropical forest habitats of animal species that could be viral reservoirs. Its goal was to catalog these viruses and predict which ones are most likely to jump species and infect humans. Here it's worth noting that even virologists who were instrumental in concealing the lab origins of SARS-CoV-2 have expressed profound skepticism about Daszak's prediction concept. As Edward C. Holmes, Andrew Rumbo, and Christian G. Anderson put it in a 2018 comment in Nature, determining which of the more than 1.6 million animal viruses are capable of replicating in humans and transmitting between them would require many decades' worth of laboratory work in cell cultures and animals. Even if researchers managed to link each virus genome sequence to substantial experimental data, all sorts of other factors determine whether a virus jumps species and emerges in a human population, such as the distribution and density of animal hosts. Influenza viruses have circulated in horses since the 1950s, and in dogs since the early 2000s, for instance. These viruses have not emerged in human populations and perhaps never will, for unknown reasons. Nevertheless, because of the 2002 SARS outbreak in China, Daszak and Barrick were able to sell their research project to various U.S. federal agencies, including the NIAID, USAID, and the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, USAMRID, in Fort Detrick, where alleged anthrax serial killer Bruce Ivins had worked. The paper trail of Barrick and Daszak's work to modify bat coronaviruses in the lab to make them infectious to humans is so vast that only a U.S. congressman or New York Times reporter could fail to see it. In 2013, Daszak and his collaborators at the Wuhan Institute of Virology published a paper in Nature titled "Isolation and Characterization of a Bat SARS-like Coronavirus that Uses the ACE2 Receptor." As they put it, for the first time in history, they'd found two wild bat coronaviruses that would bind to the human ACE2 receptor. These two viruses were named 1. Bat SLCoV-WIV-1. 2. SHCO-14. Because these two virus species could, Daszak claimed, bind to human ACE2 receptors, they were, Daszak further claimed, of great interest to virologists who are in the business of anticipating which viruses could, in theory, mutate and evolve to infect and become transmissible among humans. Daszak's 2013 paper with his WIV colleagues, Xingyi Ge and Zhengli Shi, attracted much attention in virology circles. The following year, Daszak and Barrick obtained multi-year NIH funding for a research project under the grant title Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. Continuing their work with Xingyi Ge and Zhengli Shi, Professor Barrick performed gain-of-function work on the bat viruses SLCoV-WIV-1 and SHCO-15. They then published two papers in 2015 and 2016. 1. A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence, published in Nature Medicine. 2. SARS-like WIV-1 CoV poised for human emergence, published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, or PNAS. In the first paper, Barrick and colleagues describe how they created a chimeric virus expressing the spike of bat coronavirus, SHCO14, in a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV backbone and named it SHCO14-MA15. In the second paper, Barrick and colleagues described how they also produced WIV-1-CoV chimeric virus that replaced the SARS spike with the WIV-1 spike within the mouse-adapted backbone and named it WIV-1-MA15. Regarding their first chimera, SCHCO14-MA15, Barrick et al. Made the bold claim that it can efficiently use multiple orthologs of the SARS receptor human angiotensin converting enzyme 2, ACE2, replicate efficiently in primary human airway cells and achieve in vitro titers equivalent to epidemic strains of SARS-CoV. Additionally, in vivo experiments demonstrate replication of the chimeric virus in mouse lung with notable pathogenesis. These papers are just two pieces in the mountain of documentary evidence that SARS-CoV-2, the causative agent of COVID-19, was made in a laboratory by Ralph Barrick and his Wuhan Institute of Virology colleagues. Another conspicuous document is Daszak's March 24, 2018, proposal to the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, titled Project Defuse, Defusing the Threat of Bat-Borne Coronaviruses, seeking funding of $14,209,245. The reviewers at DARPA turned down the request because it proposed to do dangerous gain-of-function work on bat coronaviruses. Especially alarming was the proposal's statement, "We will analyze all SARS-CoV gene sequences for the presence of potential furin cleavage sites. SARS-CoV with mismatches in proteolytic cleavage sites can be activated by exogenous trypsin or cathepsin L. Where clear mismatches occur, we will introduce appropriate human-specific cleavage sites and evaluate growth potential in Vero cells and HAE cultures." 2 years later, when SARS-CoV-2, the causative agent of COVID-19, emerged, virologists all over the world marveled that its genome contained a sequence for a furin cleavage site. This is the component of the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein that enables the virus to dock onto human lung epithelial cells, thereby initiating the viral replication process. It is the key feature of SARS-CoV-2 that made it infectious to humans. One of the silliest lies told by Dr. Anthony Fauci has been his insistence that NIAID did not approve gain-of-function work by EcoHealth. Fauci has repeatedly asserted this in a loud and vexed tone, as though he is outraged by the mere proposition. And yet, Ralph Barrick and his colleagues, including Zhengli Li Shi at the WIV, plainly state in their 2015 paper, "These studies were initiated before the U.S. government deliberative process research funding pause on selected gain-of-function research involving influenza, MERS, and SARS viruses, PHE.gov/S3/dual-use/documents/gain-of-function.pdf. This paper has been reviewed by the funding agency, the NIH. Continuation of these studies was requested, and this has been approved by the NIH. The official stated reason for creating SARS-like bat coronaviruses in a lab was to create countermeasures against them to protect humanity if such viruses were ever to evolve naturally to emerge in the wild. At a 2015 workshop hosted by the National Academies of Science, Daszak stated, "Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase public understanding of the need for MCMs, medical countermeasures, such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues." And that was also 129. "To our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of process." In other words, in addition to being a beneficiary of the federal grant gravy train, Daszak also positioned himself to be an investment consultant in vaccine development for coronaviruses. During the years 2016 to 2019, multiple players in the biopharmaceutical complex prepared for the emergence or the lab release of a novel coronavirus. They correctly perceived that the opportunity to make a killing was in the offing.